with your speaker, Don McWhorter.
Thank you for joining us in this session. We're going to make this a question and answer session. Usually when we do this, we receive more mail than after any other program. And of course, we have so many, many questions that are sent in that we just answer personally and never bring them to the air. But we never call any names. We are not in any way trying to embarrass anybody. We're warning people to come to a knowledge of the truth. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, Jesus said in John 8, verse 32. And so we're looking for Bible answers to Bible questions. That's why we call this Bible Talk. Just before I walked into the studio, someone met me and said, the next time you have question and answer session, I want you to answer this question for me. And I jotted it down. He said, what is the name of the brass serpent that Israel worshipped? Well, it's not really a name. It's a description. God calls it Nehushtan. Now, I want you to do something. I want you to get your concordance and look up that word and then read the context of it for yourself. Nehushtan. Next question. And they come from all over the country and all over the world. Why do you require works in order for a man to be saved? The Bible teaches by grace through faith. Works require a law. Christianity delivered the world from law. Now, stop and think that just a few minutes. Why, absolutely, we're saved by grace through faith. The Bible teaches that all the way through the New Testament. The Old Testament is characterized by being called the law, and the New Testament is called the faith. Now, the Old Testament was sealed only with animal blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats. With water and blood mixed in various ways. Hyssop. All these things that make it not just water. And sprinkled both the tabernacle and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Yet that blood couldn't save. Hebrews 10:4. Animal blood cannot take away sin. And without the shedding of blood, there is no sin or forgiveness there. Now, Jesus, Matthew 26:28, said, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. So there is the great difference. The law of the Old Testament, dedicated by the blood of animals, the law of the New Testament, dedicated by the blood of Jesus Christ. And again, the question comes up, preacher, I said, we are not saved by law. We're not saved by the Old Testament law. Nobody was. But who says that there is no law in the New Testament? By grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. But now he's talking here about works of human righteousness. Works a man would do because he or some council or some synod or organization decided that these are the things that ought to be done. And that's not what saves a man. A man is saved by the gospel of Jesus Christ, Romans 1. Paul tells the people at Rome, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes it, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Ah, but then the gospel also has to be obeyed. 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 7 through 9. You who are troubled, rest with us. When Jesus, the Lord God, shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and who obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, there is obedience in the gospel. Hebrews 5:8. He is the author of eternal salvation to all that obey Him. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Is there a law in the New Testament? It is not the law. It's not like the Old Testament. But Paul described his salvation this way. Listen to it very clearly. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. The Old Testament was the law of sin and death. Break the law and die for it. New Testament, break the law and come to God on His terms and you're forgiven. Paul says, I was saved by the law of Jesus Christ. So we can't say that there is no law in the New Testament. There is all kinds of evidence that says otherwise. Faith alone won't work, James 2:24. Grace alone won't work, or everybody would be saved. What is it then? Our acceptance and obedience to the law of the Spirit in Jesus Christ that makes us free from the law of sin and death. Dear sir, when you make baptism essential to salvation, you put a man between the sinner and God. He said, I believe that's wrong. I am not the ones that make baptism essential. Gospel preachers included when I say the ones, or Christians included when I say the ones. I'm not the one that makes baptism essential. God is. God said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved in Mark 16:16. Acts 2:38, Peter said to that vast crowd of people on Pentecost Day, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, in order that you may receive the forgiveness of your sins. Why, I could go down the line. As a matter of fact, every time in the New Testament a man is said to be saved, his salvation is always mentioned after his baptism and not prior to it. All right. Does that put somebody else between you and God? Well, show me an example in the New Testament where a man was saved and there was nobody else involved in it. The gospel is to be preached. The Bible is to be studied. The man going back home to Ethiopia was studying what little scripture he had, and God sent Philip to speak to him, to teach him. And he asked him, do you understand what you're reading? He said, how can I except some man should guide me? He invited Philip to get in the chariot with him. They were studying from Isaiah 53. That great prophecy of the coming Messiah. And Philip, beginning with the same scripture, preached unto him Jesus. Now, every instance that you'll find in God's Word, the New Testament, sealed by the blood of Christ, of a man being saved, there's always somebody there. Now, you may not like that. You may think that's heresy, but that's simply what the Bible says. Romans 10:9-10. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto salvation, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. But that doesn't stop. It's a continuing teaching. He says, how can a man believe unless he is heard? He has heard only because there has been a gospel preacher. How do they believe if somebody preached to them? How can they believe except a preacher be present in some form or another? You think God just flew over the world one day and tossed the Bible out the window and said, here it is, folks, you just do the best you can do. No. There must be knowledge of the Word of God. But there must be someone to help us with that knowledge. That's why the Great Commission is given. Go make disciples of all nations. Go and preach the gospel to every creature. First in Matthew 28. Second in Mark 16. Why did God put these people in there if people are not essential to a man's being saved? Now, I honor the fact that I was written and that the question seems to be, and I have no need to say otherwise, a very honest question. I want to ask the person who wrote the question to give me one example of anybody saved in the New Testament. Anybody. Without the help of someone else. It's just that clear. That's just the way it is. You may not like it, but I didn't make it that way. God made it that way. Let's look at another question. In this question, we're going to be talking about a different theme, as of course every question does call our attention to something different. What would be your recommendation for the best tool for studying and understanding the Bible? Well, of course, there are many. A good Bible dictionary is so vital. A good concordance is almost necessary. I could name lots of other things. An interlinear testament, where the Greek is there as well as the English. You learn a little bit about how the Bible is written in its original language. But if I were going to give just one thing as the best tool for Bible study, I think it would be this. Get a chronological Bible. Now, the Bible that most of us own is not a chronological Bible. It is a Bible arranged according to topics. All the law is put together. All the prophecies are put together, major prophets, minor prophets. All of the poetry, we might call it, like Ecclesiastes and Song of Solomon, put together. The life of Christ, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, together. The epistles arranged in a certain arrangement. And yet, this is not the way the Bible was written. We have the whole Bible. But we need to see it in the form in which it was written. And so a chronological Bible tells you, as it's going through the history that is written about in the New Testament, what prophet was prophesying and what he was saying. Prophets that prophesied before the fall of Judah, before the fall of the northern kingdom. Prophets who prophesied while these two were in captivity. Prophets that prophesied after they came back from captivity. You see, we have so many people in the world today who say, oh, we're living in the end of time. The Jews are all going to go back to Jerusalem. And there's going to be another temple built, and it's going to be destroyed by the Antichrist and his army, and then God's going to come back, and now wait a minute. If you read the Bible in its chronological order, you could never come up with any idea like that. Sure, it was predicted that the Israelites would return to Israel. But that was before they were taken away, when they were being told they were going captive. It was while they were in captive that they were told, you're going to go back. Or after the captivity, they are told the prophecies were true that you would come back. None of these have to do with the second coming of Christ and the end of time. Now, if you had a chronological Bible, that would be apparent. Nobody had to teach you that. You could just read it for yourself. You know how many times I have spoken out against the Scofield Bible? It is one of the devil's greatest tools in regard to this matter of dispensationalism or premillennialism. Its paragraphs are headed in such a way as to make you believe by the heading, that's what the paragraph says. And then its footnotes, its cross-references are given, and when you look them up, you say, well, yes, this has to be what was under discussion. But it isn't. It's the tool of the devil. For your best Bible study, get yourself a chronological Bible. And then you'll read what God said at the time He said it. Who He said it to. What it applied to. Several years ago I preached a sermon. I said, you've been reading somebody else's mail. People will read things that were promised to the apostles. Or promised to the church before the church had a written word, the Bible. That there would be inspired men. And from that, they draw the conclusion, that's true today. But it isn't. The reading of the Bible in its chronological order will enable you to tell what was written to somebody else and applied to somebody else, and what is written to you and applies to you. If I had to give up everything else in my library, except my chronological Bible, I would consider it to be a great treasure. Another question. You never ask for contributions. How does Bible Talk continue to be broadcast? Well, for the last several years, 35 or so years, I've been working under the eldership of the Church of Christ in Fayette, Alabama. For a number of years, they paid for the entire thing themselves. My salary, all the broadcast time, and things of that nature. When we decided that we needed a larger audience, that we were going to other places, the elders continued to pay me, but other congregations of Churches of Christ and other interested Christian individuals gave money in order that the program could expand. It's not only expanded, it is an explosion. Almost anywhere in the world, a person can watch Bible Talk. Isn't that wonderful? Hasn't God opened a great door of opportunity? Now, you never ask for contributions. I don't. Not on the telecast. I do ask congregations of Churches of Christ to help us to bear the expense of this. I don't know that I've ever asked a single individual for money. I get money from many individuals, some of it in rather large sums. But it all goes to the Church of Christ in Fayette. I cannot write a check on one dime that has been given to Bible Talk. It is in a bank account, overseen by the elders of the Fayette Church of Christ with a treasurer who has access to that money, and that treasurer alone can get him that money for expenses. He draws the funds out, sends the funds to the various places where Bible Talk is being broadcast. Now, there are many places where congregations have taken it upon themselves. Perhaps with other congregations. Let's bring Bible Talk to our area. Let's have it broadcast here where we live. Let's put it on the cable here where we are. And, of course, we're on cable in many places. We are on commercial stations. We are on satellite. We are on the internet, so many ways. But But now I'm not asking you to send any money. As far as you're concerned, this is free for you. And that's the way it's always going to be. I was watching a television program last night. And two people are on the program. And one of them held up just a little hand of booklets and tracts, and maybe there was one book in it. And they said, for your gift to us, your contribution to us, you can receive all these things at one time. A contribution of just $100 a month, or just $50 a month. My friends, it is a sin to sell somebody a tape of a program when the tape costs 35 cents and they're charging you $35 to get it, and they're saying, oh, we're not selling it to you. Oh, no, we're not doing that. We're giving it to you. But we won't give it to you unless you make a $35 contribution. It's not a contribution. If you're really interested in it, it's almost extortion. Try writing them and telling, I really want that. But I can't give you any money, and see how many people will send it to you. Our programs are all free. Cost you anything. We even pay the postage. We offer Bible correspondence courses. They're all free. I have no idea how many thousands upon thousands of Bible correspondence lessons have been graded. We've paid the postage. Others have given their time to taking care of grading the lessons. We pay the postage and give the one who's taking the program the postage to send it back. This is all because of cooperation between great congregations of people and individual people. I'm not going to try to sell you anything on this program. I've written some books. My wife has written more books than I have. I have many other things that I could sell. That's not the purpose of this program. I'm not selling anything. We're bringing this to you free of charge. All we ask is your interest in the Word of God, that you continue to watch, that you continue to study. And aside from studying, we ask for one other thing. We ask, would you please tell someone else about this free program. Yes, we've been on the air many. I was on the air with Bible Talk before we came to Fayette, and I've been in Fayette 36 years. Bible Talk, I'm giving away my age. Bible Talk, with me as the speaker, began in Chattanooga, Tennessee, in the year 1955. And I've been on the air with a few interruptions, not any interruption ever more than a year. And that would be when a move was made and we had to find a place for the broadcasting. But otherwise, I've been every session of Bible Talk since 1955. And so, we're glad that down through the years, people have enjoyed Bible Talk, have felt that it is a profitable program, and they have supported it with their money, not with yours. Preacher, the Bible says that all good and honest people are saved regardless of what kind of religion they practice. Why do you deny that? Well, I deny that because the Bible doesn't teach that. Jesus said, except you believe that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. John 8, verse 24. Without a person's knowing the gospel, God's power to save, Romans 1, 14 through 16, and their obedience to it, 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 7 through 9, they cannot be saved. If people can be saved by being good and honest, why did the Lord come to this earth, suffer, and shed His innocent blood? Why not just send the message down, now you folks be good, and you folks be honest? I know some very good and honest people who right now are lost, and if they do not change their way, they're going to go to hell, where they will live eternally. Think about Cornelius. Cornelius is described for us in great detail. Acts chapters 10 and 11. He was called a good man. He prayed all the time. He brought his good influence to bear upon his family and those that worked with him. He gave much alms to the poor. What more would you ask of a man? He was lost. God said he was. I've heard people say, well, if Cornelius wasn't saved, nobody can be saved. Well, Cornelius wasn't saved. Cornelius was saved when God said, now, you send to Joppa for a man by the name of Simon, and he'll come down here and tell you what you have to do to be saved. I could give you many other examples. Simon Peter came down and preached the gospel to that man. And when that man heard the gospel, he became a believer. He believed in the New Testament now. Not only that there is God the Father, but Jesus Christ the Son, who is the Messiah, the Savior. The Holy Spirit, which inspired the words that we read in the Holy Bible. And He's taught from those words what He has to do to be saved. He was taught a number of things, and you know well what they are, but chapter 10, verse 47 tells him, now remember, you will be told by Simon what you have to do to be saved. Among the things, the last thing that Simon said to him was, arise, take care of your responsibility before God. Can a man forbid water that these should not be baptized? And then he commanded them to be baptized. Well, I thought maybe there was another, but that's all I have with me this time, and I guess it's good because I only have a few seconds left. Friends, would you tune in regularly to the program? Would you write us and let us know what the program means to you? Remember, Bible talk starts and stops in the Bible.